if God could answer that prayer that we just sang this week will not have been in vain. It's certainly a joy to be able to spend a week like this with you young people. And it's been encouraging to sense.
Excuse me, I think I've got some kind of tissues here. Can somebody bring me a napkin, please? It's been a joy to sense your eagerness and your heart to learn. And I know that there were, as it already has been done, there's been a few heavy things said. And, you know, I just want to remind us that this is boot camp, right? You saw that on the paperwork. You saw that it was boot camp. And we're glad you're here. And this is boot camp, though. And this is not a hospital. And I had some young men yesterday meditating with me on the difference between the hospital and a boot camp. What exactly was the difference between a hospital and a boot camp? Can y'all tell me again? Right, yeah, so in a hospital, many things happen in a hospital, but one thing is the nurse's job is to go around and make sure everybody's comfortable. Bump up the morphine a little bit, and make sure everybody's feeling good and recovering well. That's kind of what happens at hospitals. Boot camp's a little different than that. And this is not a nursery either. You know, nurseries are a little different than boot camp too. Anybody else want to take a stab in the dark and guess at some differences between a boot camp and a nursery? Let me hear some ideas. Any ideas? You can't get it far off. I mean, there's probably more than one right answer to that. Don't you think so?
Rock
yeah. Rock babies. Yeah, what?
A lot of
sleep happens in nurseries. Yeah. Not very much sleep happens in boot camp. At least it's not supposed to. And then the nature of the conversation is a little bit different in the nursery as a boot camp. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of soft speech. A lot of cooing and patting and just a lot of very just reassuring tones in a nursery. In boot camp, there's a little bit more noise, a little bit more expectation, sometimes a little bit of yelling. You know, in fact, that's pretty so often, I think. And, you know, the reason is because at different stages of life, we need different things. But boot camp, the purpose of boot camp is to prepare men for war. And that's what Andrew already challenged us with that this morning as we started this week off, that thou by this week mightest war a good warfare. The fact is that there's a war to be fought. And there's an enemy of our souls. And there's some things that you need to know. And when you're at boot camp, you look at your instructor, your drill sergeant, and you think, do you really need to be that aggressive? I mean, back down. But then when you're on the front lines and the bullets are whizzing over your head, you'll remember and you'll be thankful. So, it is boot camp. So, maybe it'll be a bit tough. Maybe you'll feel like the instructors are yelling at you this week. But we love you. We're glad you're here. And if we have some hard things to say, it's because life is hard. And if we're not adequately equipped, prepared, there'll be trouble in the trenches, and we don't want that for you. So, welcome to Boot Camp 2021. And in my series here, I've been assigned to speak on lives of purpose, lives with purpose. And my focus is not so much in these sessions going to be about tickling your ears for the duration of these sermons. I would like to prepare you for survival in the field of conflict. I would like to see your life affected December the 11th. That's the day after boot camp is over. I want to see your life affected January 2022, February of 2023, and March of 2024. That's where the real battle lies. we're sitting here in comfort, and we have the fellowship of the saints and a lot of blessings surrounding us today. And yet, I don't know how I'm going to come across. I don't know. I just acknowledge I have a temptation in speaking that I would rather, it's easy for me to focus on, you know, how is this particular session or this particular series coming together. But I'm trying to remind myself and you all that the greatest focus here is going to be next week. How is this going to affect us next week and next year? Okay, so that's going to be what I'm trying to have as my focus. So today, as we think about lives of purpose, I would like to talk about the power of purpose. And then tomorrow, good Lord willing, I'd like to talk about purpose in singlehood. Purpose in singlehood. All right, and then we're going to talk about, Lord willing, as we think about lives of purpose, the third message will be lives of purpose in impacting our communities. And then number four, lives of purpose in impacting our world. And then number five, we want to kind of wrap it up and take it home. Bring some concluding thoughts and comments to lives of purpose. So this morning, we want to think about the power of purpose. And I've actually given this title to the sermon this morning. It's a German title. And you may recognize it if you're familiar with history. Mein Kampf. Mein Kampf. I want that to be our title this morning as we meditate on the power of purpose. Mein Kampf. It means in English, my struggle or my fight. It is a 1925 autobiographical manifesto by the Nazi Party leader Adolf Hitler. The work describes the process by which Hitler became anti-Semitic and outlines his political ideology and future plans for Germany. It was published in 1925. Hitler began Mein Kampf while imprisoned following his failed coup in Munich in November 1923 and a trial in February 1924 for high treason, in which he received a very light sentence of 5 years. Although he received many visitors initially, he soon devoted himself entirely to this book. As he continued, he realized it would have to be a two-volume work, with the first volume set for release in 1925. After slow initial sales, the book became a bestseller in Germany following Hitler's rise to power in 1933. So why would we use a title from such an evil man? The title Mein Kampf. And there's several reasons. And one of them is, I want you to remember this 2 weeks from now. And every time you read across history and you read about Mein Kampf, I want you to remember the personal nature of this title. Mein Kampf. And when we talk about living lives of purpose, unless it comes down home to affect my life and it becomes my purpose, as long as it's people outside of me telling me, oh, you need to do this, or you should do that. Until you embrace purposefulness, until you experience the power of purpose and it becomes mein Kampf, you will be missing something. And so we want this to be, so we're talking about purpose here, and Kampf is related in the sense it speaks of struggle or fight. Because, you know, when you have purpose, you are willing to struggle for something. When you want something bad enough, it's not a difficulty at all to go ahead and invest serious effort, serious struggle, serious fight to attain your purpose. I want you to turn with me in your Bibles for our opening scripture here to Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 15. Mein Kampf. These verses here take us right. Paul opens his heart in the book of Philippians here and lets us see some of his inner motivation, some of the purpose, purposeful life that he lived. What's our title again? Lives with Purpose. And we get to see this in Apostle Paul here in Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 15. Thank you for turning in your Bibles to this scripture. These verses are filled with meaning and inspiration for those of us who want to live purposeful lives. Verse 12, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after. I follow after that I may, if that I may apprehend that for which I also am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore. Thank you, brother. I'm going to use these for an illustration here in a little bit, so I'm kind of tweaking them just slightly. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect. There's different categories of people here today, and there's different categories that Paul was writing to. He had a word to a certain category of people. He said, let us therefore, as many be perfect, be thus minded. What kind of minded should we be? What is our mindset? He just got done saying it. Think about this. I follow after that, if that I may apprehend. What does that word apprehend mean? It's to catch, to lay hold, to seize. If I'm following after, if I can seize, I can get my hands on the thing that what? What's he getting his hands on? The thing that Jesus apprehended me for. So Jesus, remember Paul going on the road to Damascus? Jesus apprehended Paul. Jesus stopped in his tracks and got a hold of Paul. And it was for a purpose. It was revealed to him on that day. There was a lot of things that were revealed to him in the following days and months and years. But there was a purpose that Jesus seized, apprehended, arrested Saul on that road to Damascus. Anyways, but this is what he's following after. I follow after that if I can get my hands on the reason that Jesus got a hold of me. But that's what he says. I don't count myself. Verse 13, you see that? I don't count myself to have apprehended. In other words, I have not yet. I don't feel like I've achieved that yet. But this one thing I do, and it's amazing what you can accomplish if you focus on one thing. The power of focusing on one thing is amazing. As Paul focused on one thing here, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. There was, Paul had purpose. He was pressing for, he wanted to achieve something. He wanted to realize a prize. He wanted to get his hands on the reason that God called him. See, you see the purpose here? He knew he was apprehended by Jesus for a purpose. That's a big thing. We need to understand that. You were not saved just so you could occupy a church pew. Amen? Isn't that right? All so that the rest of your life you could occupy a church pew. Keep it nice and warm there. About 98 degrees. You were saved for more than that. There's a purpose. And Paul realized that purpose. And he purposed that his purpose was going to be to achieve that purpose. Amen? You talk about a purposeful life. The purpose to achieve the purpose that God has for you. That's powerful. That's how you live a life of purpose. And Paul was that way. Saul was that way. Paul, whatever. His name changed partway through. But you know, this thing was such a big thing in his life. And in fact, it makes sense out of a lot of what we see in Paul's life. And you know, when you have purpose in your life, brothers and sisters, purpose will permeate your entire life. You know, it's just like a gumball. I got some gumballs here, and I want to think of these as purpose. Let's see here. Here's one that's red. We're going to put it in this water. It says that the water's clear at this point. And we'll drop it in there, and we injected purpose into that person's life. And here we've got somebody over here that have a different kind of purpose. We're going to inject some purpose in there. We'll just see how this purpose affects them over a period of time. See what happens here. I hope the water's warm. That will help our purpose. But think about that. Paul, he allowed that purpose to permeate his life. And when we have a purpose in our life, it begins to permeate. Here's a quote I came across. It says, "It doesn't interest me what you do for a living. I want to know what you ache for." What you ache for. That's probably your purpose. What you ache for. And if you dream of meeting your heart's longing. Purpose. Paul, he was determined that he was going to get a hold of what Jesus got a hold of him for. Amen. So here's a word he uses in this passage we just read. He uses the word press. This word means to pursue. I press toward the mark. I pursue. It implies persecution. Like in the very same word actually is used, Paul speaking about himself in Acts chapter 26. You don't need to turn there. I'll read it to you. He says, "And I punished them off," talking about the believers. This was before he was a believer. "I punished them off in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme, and being exceeding mad against them, I persecuted them even in the strange cities." That's the same word. Now he says, "I press." At one time he was persecuting the Christians, running them all over creation, Damascus, didn't matter where. He was going to hunt them down. And that same kind of tenacity is now the very thing that's motivating him. I press! If it takes me to Damascus, it doesn't matter. I press. I want to experience, I want to achieve what God called me to achieve. A life of purpose. And I want you to notice the word prize here. You see that there? What verse is that in your Bible there? For the prize. That's verse 14 there. I press. This is what he wanted to experience. The prize. The prize is an award. Award, and they used it a lot of times in public games. So like if they had Olympics or something, they gave out prizes to those who won. And 1 Corinthians 9:24 says, "Don't you know that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that you may obtain." That's what Paul says right here. I press toward the mark for the prize. He had some definite thing in mind that he was pressing towards. And so it's important, young people, we must have purpose in our lives. If we need to live purposeful lives. And Paul here, we see his purpose. You know, and the thing is that God is a God of purpose. Isn't that something? Think about that. God is a God of purpose. I want to read you a few scriptures, so we'll have you turn to a few after a bit. But here's a few I'm going to read to you. We're thinking about God's purpose, the fact that God is a God of purpose. "To the intent that now," and so this is Ephesians 3, verse 10, "to the intent that now the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose, which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord." So we see here that God has a what? Eternal purpose. Romans 9:17 says, "For the Scripture saith unto Pharaoh, for this same purpose I have raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout the earth." Here, God was able to even use a heathen man like Pharaoh to achieve his purpose. And what was his purpose at that point? One of his purposes was to declare his name throughout the earth. That was the purpose of God. Amen? Numbers 14, we see the purpose of God. That same purpose of God wanted the earth to know Him, to see His glory. Numbers 14:21, "But as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord." And this is, the context here is very fascinating. This is the context when Israel rebelled, and God was so weary of their rebellion that He decided to wipe them off the face of the earth. And then He was going to start over again using Moses as a descendant. Remember that? Moses was, he could have, if he would have been a vain person at all, He would have probably went for that, but Moses instead intercedes. Very humble man, and intercedes, and God chooses to forgive, but then he restates his purpose. So after he was ready to wipe Israel off, and what he wanted to accomplish through Israel was to glorify his name in the earth. And so when he decided to go ahead and forgive Israel, this is what he said. All right, he said, "All right, yep, I'll do it, Moses. But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord." And so you see that purpose of God here. He is committed to seeing His name being known and adored all over this globe. And so humans, we were created in God's image. We were designed on purpose, for a purpose, to live with a purpose. And you are not fully living until you live full of purpose. You are not fully living until you are living full of purpose. Because here's the thing. Just like God is filled with purpose, God, He has eternal purposes. I mean, He's committed certain things that just matter to God. And one of those is His glory in the earth. And He made us in His image. There's many things that were made in the image of God, but one of these is that sense of purpose. You are not fully living. Because that's how God made you, you're not fully living until you're living a life filled with purpose. Now, I want you to look here at these things by now. So what happens is in the course of life, you know, things bump you and things move and shake. And before you long, you know, that water is permeated by that color. It kind of stays stable. But how stable is your life? You know, you hit this bump and that bump and things go on. And before long, that color gets mixing through to where the whole is colored and shaped by that purpose, by that color. For our illustration here, we can share in God's purpose. God is purposeful. God is a God of purpose, and we can share in His purpose. I think one of the greatest purposes that we can have as young people is a purpose to know God. Amen? A purpose to know God. And right along with that, the purpose to make Him known. To know God and to make Him known. And you see this, you look at Paul. Paul is just a man of purpose. Let's go ahead and turn, you're probably close by there. Philippians 3, 8, verse 8 there. Knowing God and making Him known. This is a good purpose. I suggest it is one of the highest purposes that we can have. Philippians 3, verse 8. You ready? Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss. You know, if you're going to have purpose, there's some things that you're going to have to abandon. I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that beautiful righteousness. Now, notice here, verse 10, you ready? It says, that I may know Him. And we're talking about knowing God, the purpose of knowing God. This was Paul's cry, that I may know Him. Now, did Paul know Jesus or not? I mean, he got knocked off his horse. I think very well that Paul knew God, but yet his heart was crying out, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. See, we see this desire that Paul had, that I may know Him, knowing God. Our purpose should be to know God. And then secondly, Paul had that same, he had a desire to make God known. He wanted to know God, and he also wanted to make God known. Romans 15, verse 20. Let me read that to you. You're still there in Philippians. Just keep your finger there, because I want you to treasure that verse. But verse 20 of chapter 15 of Romans, yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named. Amazing. He had a desire to preach the gospel where Christ was not named. He wanted to make Jesus known in this world. And if there was somebody that had not yet heard, Paul had a desire. Oh, I want to tell them. And it says, as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand. And that was Paul, when he was preaching the gospel to people who hadn't heard Jesus before, he knew he was living out the prophecy of Isaiah. And it just filled his heart with passion and meaning to know, I'm fulfilling Isaiah 53 or 52. To whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand. So that's a good purpose, to know God and to make Him known. Are we still on with the sound? I didn't know if I messed something up, but okay, good. Thank you. Let's meditate a minute on the purpose of Jesus. You know, and the reason I want you to meditate on the purpose of Jesus, because you know what? Jesus, we already learned about Him this morning a little bit there, touched on things, but His life is our example. So let's meditate a bit on the purpose of Jesus. I want you to turn to John 4. John 4, 34. As we meditate on the purpose of Jesus. Purpose of Jesus. Jesus lived an absolutely purpose-filled life. John 8, verse 28. I'm going to read that to you while you're going to John 4. John 8, verse 28 says, "Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, ye shall know that I am He, and that I do nothing of myself, but as the Father hath taught me, I speak these things, and He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always, those things that please Him." Don't you think about that? That was a purpose that gripped the heart of Jesus. That was one thing that He was never going to budge on, never going to compromise on. I do always those things that please Him. Now, there we are in verse. This is we're looking at the purpose of Jesus, a commitment, a rock solid commitment to always do those things that please His Father. Verse 34 of John chapter 4. Then Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work. That was a purpose that was deep in the heart of Jesus. In fact, He described it as His meat, His food. Think about how, you know, by this evening, how hungry most of you will be. You know, and Jesus was able to say, my meat. You know, that satisfied, you know what I'm saying? When you're hungry and just have a good meal, it's just that, oh. Especially if it's steak or something, you know what I'm saying? Right? Right, brothers? But just, my meat is to do the will of Him that sent me. That's what it felt. I mean, that's how He was so purposeful. He was committed to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work. I'm going to read you a scripture from Luke 19, verse 10. It says, "For the Son of Man is come to," what's He come to do? What's His purpose? "The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." Here again, we know it's about knowing God and making Him known. And here you see that purpose of making God known. "The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost." This is the purpose of that gripped the heart of Jesus. John 12, I'll read you a verse from there. John 12, 27 says, "Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour." You ever been there? You've been up against something and you thought, God, if there was any way that we could open a door right here and drop through the floor and get out of this situation, count me in. And that's what Jesus was feeling at that moment. But He stopped because His purpose stopped Him. He said, Shall I say, Father, save me from this hour? But for this cause came I unto this hour. This is my life's purpose. So I can't say no now. Do you see how purpose affected the life of Jesus? It will affect your life in the same way. Just like these gumballs here, their color has come off and totally affected the color of the water they sit in. That's the way Jesus' life was. And so it came down to the cross. Should I say, Father, save me from this hour? And it was a rhetorical question. Because He said, but for this cause came I unto this hour. And here's the thing. Father, glorify Your... Young people, if we can get to where we say this in our lives. When you wish for a door to open up. When you could get out of that situation. When the cross is looming before you. And you want a way out. And you remember Your purpose. Then you say, Father, glorify Your name. And there came a voice from heaven saying, I have glorified it. And God will do that, brothers and sisters, in your life when you just yield to the cross and apply yourself to living a life of purpose and saying, yep, for this cause came I into this hour. Father, glorify Your name. He will be able to glorify His name. And then the verse, let's read John 18. I'll read it to you, actually. Don't turn there. I want to have you turn to a few key scriptures. You're welcome to, but I know I'm covering a lot of ground here with scripture, so you don't feel obligated. John 18, 37. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered and said, thou sayest I am a king, and to this end was I born. Talking about purpose. And for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Jesus felt that His cause coming into the world was to bear witness of the truth. And brothers and sisters, If that could grip our hearts and we could follow in the steps of Jesus in that way, that we realize one of my purposes in life is to bear witness to the truth, not just to keep your church pew at 98 degrees, but to bear witness to the truth. Do you believe that is your purpose? Have you embraced that as your purpose? Is that purpose going into you and permeating your glass till the whole thing is purple? Here's another one. 1 John 3:8 says, "He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose was the Son of God manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil." Praise God. The purpose of the Lord Jesus, is he lived such a life of purpose, to destroy the works of the devil, to testify to the truth, to go to the cross, to bring salvation, to seek and to save that which is lost, to do the will of him that sent him and to finish the work. And he could say, "I do always those things that please the Father." Let that, young people, oh, if we could let that grip our heart and that be our testimony. I tell you, we'd be living lives of purpose where we no need to have anybody, nobody be depressed. You can't be depressed with that kind of purpose. No, it's impossible. When that purpose grips you, oh my, so many of our maladies will begin to vaporize. Praise the Lord. But anyways, now, okay, we've looked at the purpose. We looked at how God is purposeful. We've looked at the purpose of Jesus. We've looked at how we've seen the purpose in Paul. And now we come back to our title from our German history. Mein Kampf. What is your Kampf? What is your purpose? Do you have a Mein Kampf? Many of our parents have purpose. They have passion. They have their Kampf. They've given themselves to raise the standard in a godly family, a biblical church. And this passion gets them up each morning and gets them trucking. But here's the thing I see. I've been painting nice pictures in the sky with brushes. Okay, now, you ready? This is boot camp. Can you handle somebody yelling in your face? Now, some of us grow up in those churches, in those homes that were established by Mein Kampf. And we grow up and we know we're made in the image of God and we know we should have purpose. We know that. We feel it inside. But brothers and sisters, it's possible to have a misplaced purpose. It's possible to grow up in that kind of setting and such opportunity to know God and to make Him known, and yet somehow we misplace our purpose. I kid you not, we misplace our purpose. And instead of giving ourselves to build up the family and the godliness that's there, we argue. We fuss. You know, and there's been men of God whose Mein Kampf has been to build the church. And yet you fight it. But the thing is, it's a misplaced purpose. And I get it. Because in your heart, you want to have purpose. You want to have meaning. And unfortunately, tragically, sometimes I've watched this happen. And it's a grief in my heart. Because I know it's a misplaced purpose. It looks to you like, wow, the church is running strong, hitting on all 8 cylinders, right, young men? You know what that means. Or all 10, whatever you like. And it could handle a little bit of aggression. In fact, it has some needs. And if we could kind of bring some serious heavy-duty correction there, we might get some. And your Kampf can be so destructive. But here's what, and so that's one hand. Oh, I'm sorry, I spilled my water everywhere, y'all. Help me out. Oh, no, it's okay. It's not that much. It's going to be okay. But the thing is, it can be in other areas. Here's another area where we make our Mein Kampf, you know? You know, our parents, you know, they put up with less than ideal vehicles. They couldn't hardly afford much better. But you know, Mein Kampf. Tracking with me? When it's time for me, when I'm of age, Mein Kampf. You better believe I'm not going to be driving around in something like that. You know, and they struggled. They really struggled to, you know, keep a roof over our head. And so, you know, Mein Kampf, I am going to have a nice one. Nice, nice mansion. Or, you know, business. Well, yeah, we just barely made it. Just always busting ourselves all the way through, barely making it. Mein Kampf, I will have a successful business. And so we give ourselves, young people, we give ourselves to a bunch of misplaced purpose. And God's cry is for a people that want to know Him, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering and a passion like Paul had to make Him known. That should be our heart. That should be what grips our heart. And we should be seeking to know God. That should be the thing that gets us up in the morning, to know God. And the thing that keeps us moving throughout the day is to make Him known. But instead, our Mein Kampf is all these trivialities. Trivialities. Mein Kampf is to shoot a big buck. You've got to be kidding me. Mein Kampf. I want to have that look. I want to have that certain look. And so anyways, it goes in many ways, but we end up resisting and struggling our way, as Philip taught us. But you know, when you have your purpose, your real purpose. How are we doing on our time here? I see. But here, let's just say that at our core of who we are, brothers and sisters, let's meditate for a moment, just in the depth of our heart. Let's think about our real purpose. I believe all of us have purpose. We either have a good purpose or a misplaced purpose. I believe that. And you're going to hear me saying some things that Philip kind of touched on already. See if I can get a drink here without knocking this cup over. You think I can do it? So far, so good. All right. We'll count our chickens after they're hatched. But so now we're talking about real purpose here, okay? So this is real purpose here. Whatever is at the core of your life, whatever is your real purpose, is going to be doing this to you right here. This water is purple now. It's been so affected by that purpose that I injected into that gumball. And so at the core of all of our lives, every one of us has got a real purpose. And maybe you don't. Maybe if you're highly depressed today, there's a good chance. If you're seriously struggling and highly depressed, there's a good chance this is missing. But other than that, all of you have purpose. And so here's what happens. Let's say, for instance, your real purpose is to know God and to make Him known. And what kind of life? I mean, you're going to have things coming out of that life. It's going to be beautiful. There's going to be, you know, you'll have all kinds of opportunities to know God. You know, okay, so there's nothing going on. Oh, this is a Sunday afternoon where there's nothing going on. Oh, praise God. This is an opportunity for me to know God. I'm going to slip off of my Bible somewhere, get alone with God. You know, that's what's going to happen if you have real purpose to know God. And, okay, there's a, oh. Maybe you have a purpose to know God, to make Him known. And maybe you're a barn hauler. Maybe, I don't know what you are, sawmill builder, whatever, saw cutter, whatever. Homemaker. But you come across people and you have an opportunity to make Him known. If it's in your heart, you're going to find ways for it to spill out. It just is that way. This color comes off the gumball and begins to permeate that water. Whatever your real purpose is, it will come out. But I want to talk to you in a moment about some misplaced purposes now. I want to call it the look, all right? You knew I'd step on your toes. I'm going to call it the look. You know what the look is? I have never been capable of it. I don't know what's wrong with me. I tried it again yesterday, and they told me I didn't have it. So, it's tough. But it's not my real purpose. Maybe that's why I didn't get it. I don't know. But the look. All right? So you know what I mean by the look? Anyone want to take a stab in the dark and tell me what the look is? Tell me. The look. You don't know. Okay. Somebody else. Diane? The look. Yeah, the look. Yeah, just that. You want to have a certain look about you. That's really important to you. So here's what happens. So, you know, so your parents talk to you a little bit, and they say,
you know, I wish you would change this in your life. And so you try. I mean, you're a good-hearted young person, every one of you. You know what I'm saying? You're a good-hearted young person. And so you make a good, honest effort to do it. You know, I mean, I know, it's true. I should do a little better than that. And so you try for 2 or 3 days. But the thing is, your real purpose is still to have the look. And so, your parents, I mean, so it's actually kind of a, I'll give you 5 stars on effort, because you're putting a lot of effort in this. And that, not only that, but you're dealing with, you know, so you're trying to keep your parents happy. And then you have your servant body, your ministry team coming along, and they're kind of fussing at you for a few things. And so you start putting effort in that. Well, I mean, they're kind of struggling too. And so next thing you know, you're putting a little effort here and trying to make sure, I mean, you got to be true to your real purpose, but, you know, try to keep them feeling better, you know, and that's a big job. And then, you know, and so, because one of the things is they got onto you about was your shoes. So now you went shoe shopping and put a lot of effort into that. I mean, that was a lot of work. I mean, you went and bought a better pair of shoes, and then it also got onto you about your sideburns over here. And so then, I mean, you really put effort into this. I mean, the next day when you're getting dressed and doing your trim up, and, you know, you made sure that you did a little bit, better, you know? And so I mean, frankly, you put a lot of effort into this. I mean, you trying to keep these people happy, and God bless you, trying to keep these people happy. And you did go shoe shopping, and you did do a little better trim there. And you have been trying, you know, it's been tough, but you have been, you know, doing better, having your devotions. I mean, for the most part, I mean, it's been a struggle, but, you know, you're really trying your best. And I look at a person like that, and I think, wow, you know, God, there's a lot of effort going on here. Don't you agree with me? Can you see that? That's a lot of effort, a lot of sweat, corporate sweat here. But you know what's really wrong here? Is the real purpose. And until that changes, you're still gonna think, wow, I mean, this is so hard. I'm putting effort here, 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 It's such a burden. It's a heavy load I'm carrying. Oh yeah, we got, you know, and then, you know, we tried to, okay, yeah, okay, we got over here, somebody got on us, clothes a little bit too snug, so we loosened up a bit, tried to anyways, and, you know, just, it kind of keep wanting to shrink on us, but we've been really putting a lot of effort going into this one here. You know, those vests, I don't know, it's just something about they just want to shrink over time, and then you know, the hairdo was a problem down here, and swoop-de-doo and whatever. But we're working real hard to keep all that. And it's a battle, you know. We're working hard every day, especially, you know, church days like this, and work hard to keep that all straight. And it's wearisome, right? But you know what really needs to happen? What we've really got going on here, brothers and sisters, let me just have a moment of honesty. This is boot camp. Your purpose is wrong. Your purpose is wrong. Your purpose, if this is your life right here, your purpose is you want to have the look. And until this gets put to death, there's only one solution for it. It's called death. 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 Death to self. And Jesus said, unless a man is willing to forsake all that he hath, he can't be my disciple. And so until you're willing to die to the look, you cannot be his disciple, because you're going to wear yourself out trying to keep all these people and all their nitpickiness happy. And the saints will be worn out. You're going to wear out the saints because of the look. But if you can die to this, oh, brothers, sisters, if you can die to this and you can really embrace a true purpose, the purpose to know God, to the point of where you're like Paul, where you read over that scripture and it resonates with your soul, that I may know him and the power and the fellowship of his sufferings. When your real purpose gets right, all of a sudden, these people are going to be a joy in your life. Amen. We heard about authority this morning. But here's the thing. Did you ever heard of the phrase rebel with a cause? You ever heard of that? Rebel with a cause. And I was asked to maybe just give a little bit of a follow-up there. When what Philip shared is that many times rebels don't know they're rebels. And that's scary now, okay? So if you go buy a Ouija board, you know you bought a Ouija board. But you can be a rebel and not know it. Because here's what happens with rebels. Every rebel has a cause. Rebel with a cause, right? You heard that before.
And so every rebel has a cause. There's a reason. I mean, if you just knew, if you knew my situation, you know, then you would know. But the thing is that we need to recognize that, just recognize that every rebel believes he has a cause, but it still doesn't change this fact that the Scripture calls us to honor our parents, honor our authorities. Anyways, and so when the real purpose is here, when the purpose is to know God and to make him known, a lot of things come right here in this. Can anybody testify to that? Just is that, amen, there we go, we see it. That's a fact. A lot of things come right here when you're with your ministry. A lot of things automatically, I mean, shoe shopping becomes a breeze. Serious. But here's where it's a challenge. When you're trying to keep these people happy and this happy. And you know who always is going to have the last say? It's your core value. It's your real purpose is going to have the last say. And you're going to squeak by over here and you're going to scrape by over here. But at the end of the day, whatever's in here is going to get honored. Have a witness in the house? And so all of a sudden, I bought these shoes the other day. You can look at them if you want later. But anyways, I thought I was trying to make a little bit of money off of them, but I won't. I'll leave it. I bought these shoes. It was just a very convenient, a very simple thing because I knew the size I needed and I knew kind of the perimeter that I kind of wanted to. I didn't need anything with real long points and all this fancy stuff. And so it was real basic. I just got them. Finished. End of the story. So because my purpose is strong enough and I didn't need to have the look. And so it was pretty easy to do this. And, this becomes easy when the heart is at the right place. This becomes a joy. Amen? When the heart's in the right place. This here, hey, it's no big deal when the heart's in the right place. When the real purpose is gripping us. And this here, it becomes easy to deal with when our purpose is right. But listen, in the honesty of your heart here this morning, we need to take a serious look at this. If there's issues on this level in your life, it means that we need to deal with something at the core, and that is your purpose. What is this morning? What is mein Kampf for you? Do you have a purpose? Has the purpose of Jesus gripped your heart? I want to close with a thought here. I want to challenge us to have a purpose to love God. A genuine love for God. I want to challenge us to have a purpose of consecration. I want to challenge us to have a purpose of conscientiousness. That would be a study right there in and of itself. Some of you young men, if you haven't figured out what sermon you're preaching yet, preach on conscientiousness. What about a purpose of joyful sobriety? What about a purpose to redeem the time in our phone use, in our hobbies? Proverbs 29:18 says, where there's no vision, the people perish. They cast off restraint. Knowing is not enough. Knowing what your goal should be, that's what stood out to me. I went through the butcher shop the other day and asked the young people there that were working there for our goal, what should be the purpose of our lives. And there was tremendous rich ideas that came up. Beautiful things. Good relationship with Jesus, winning souls, building God's kingdom, eternal perspectives, living like Jesus did. Getting focus off yourself, having a proper view in relation to God, being content, serving others, worshiping God, being used by God, having a vision, being Christ-centered, all kinds of things that we know in our head, but knowing it is not enough. The question is has it become mein Kampf? It did for Charles Wesley. He said these words, a charge. He used different words than I'm using. A charge to keep I have, a God to glorify, a never-dying soul to save and fit it for the sky, to serve the present age, my calling to fulfill. Oh, may it all my powers engage to do my master's will. Arm me with jealous care as in thy sight to live. And now thy servant, Lord, prepare a strict account to give. Help me to watch and pray and on thyself rely. Assured if I my trust betray, I shall forever die. My challenge is get the real purpose and make it mine. Mein Kampf.